Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is a podcast from the South China Morning Post.
Hey everyone, so welcome back to the second episode of Inside China Tech. Today we have a very special guest with us today. Her name is Jane Manchun Wong. So just a little bit of an introduction about Jane. She is a 23-year-old university student who, you know, she's studying in the US, but she's originally from Hong Kong, and she's kind of gained a bit of a following on Twitter for her reverse engineering of popular apps like Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. So what she does is basically, you know, she reverse engineers, she looks at the source code and tries to uncover hidden features. Jane will, you know, be with us to talk about what she does and why she does it. And yeah, I think it should be a very interesting podcast. Also, if you have not listened to our previous podcast, which was the very first episode on Singles Day and short video, I recommend that you do that right after listening to this one. But yeah, otherwise, enjoy. I hope you enjoy today's episode. Hi, Jane. Welcome to Inside China Tech.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah, Jane, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I'm actually a Hong Konger. I was born and grew up in Hong Kong, and then I'm studying in UMass Dartmouth in the States as a computer science student. In my free time, I scoop apps.
What exactly is scooping apps? What does that mean?
It's kind of like, so scooping apps is like reverse engineering apps. That's, you kind of like see the logics behind the apps and then see what's interesting about that. Maybe sometime the apps will come with the unreleased features. So when I figure out a way to make that happen, then I will just tweet about it.
Okay, so let me get it straight. So when you get like an app like Facebook, what you do is that you go into the app and you look at the code in the app.
Yeah, the code.
And then so, you know, within the code, you sort of reverse engineer and see what kind of features that they've embedded in it. But why do we do that? Why do you need to go in and look at the features? Like, won't the features already be in the Facebook app itself?
So that's this thing called A/B testing, which is like before the feature got launched globally, some companies they might want to pick maybe just a small sample of the entire population to see maybe like the behavior, like what's the behavioral change before when the feature is being tested to them, to kind of improve and refine that before the global launch.
So this is for like features that they haven't released currently in the app, is that right?
Yeah.
So that like they might want to test like
they might want to test with other maybe Facebook employees who are using that app, or just a small population in somewhere in the world.
Okay. So for them to A/B test, they would have to have that code embedded in the app, but only released to some users. So maybe, like Jane, if you are, you know, if Facebook is conducting A/B testing on the both of us, for example, so maybe you might get access to a feature that I don't have access to in the same Facebook app.
Correct.
Correct.
Like, is there and something will happen naturally? No, not naturally, but something will happen, and it will get activated in your version of the app.
I see. Yeah. So, okay. So what are some of the features you have, you know, sort of uncovered in your hobby of scooping apps?
Like
what sort of features have you sort of uncovered in, you know, when you're scooping apps? Like, what kind of apps do you scoop? And like, what are some of the big features you have discovered?
That's like, we can talk whole day about that.
Yeah, maybe that, pick the top three, like the one, your favorite ones, or the ones that, you know, you really felt was super interesting for users.
I think speaking of like being interesting to users, I guess like the most interesting feature could be, I guess like Twitter encrypted DM. Because around like few months back, before I scooped this feature, kind of Jack Dorsey, the Twitter CEO, kind of mentioned he might work on encryptions. And then like I found a way to scoop that in Twitter's app, and then I made it possible, and I tweeted about that, and then it was kind of it went viral on Twitter.
Yep. Yeah. But this was fairly recent.
And it wasn't recent. It was like half year ago.
Ah, okay. Yeah. So when you say encrypted DMs, you mean like end to end encryption, something like what WhatsApp is doing now.
Yeah.
And Twitter wanted to do it in their DMs.
Which is kind of like end to end encryption, where ideally Twitter themselves would not be able to read the contents inside the messages.
Mm. And what about Facebook? I think I saw on your Twitter that you had uncovered something about Facebook wanting to launch like a dating feature.
The dating feature, I think I kind of saw that before the launch, but like I wasn't sure what that was about. Like when I see that, I saw references of location, maybe like fun facts, something like that, and then I wasn't sure what's that about until the launch. Oh, so that's about dating.
Okay.
So a while after that, I managed to find a way to turn that on, the onboarding process, the screen on, and then took some screenshot and then post it on Twitter. That was like when I was like kind of like chilling in a coffee shop, and then I figured out maybe like that's the Friday 4 p.m. in Boston, so I figured out maybe that's the perfect time to post that. So I was taking a sip and then just clicked tweets, and then it went completely viral. Like I guess Casey Newton at The Verge kind of picked that up first, and then he wrote an article about that, and then it went absolutely crazy over the entire weekend.
So a lot of the tech media, I think, in the U.S. probably watch your Twitter very closely in terms of, you know, to be interested in like, oh, what Facebook is launching or what Snapchat's launching or what Twitter might be launching next.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe tell us a little, for this, you do it, like, I mean, I you're a student, right? What do you study?
I study computer science.
Okay, so, but you do this, like, on the side, it's like
Yeah, on the side, it's completely, my hobby is not, it's not for, like, anything extrinsic. I got no money rewarded by scooping apps, and, yeah, it's just completely my hobby. I guess a way to put that is, I personally use Facebook apps, like all the apps I scoop about, I just try to get the most out of those apps.
So what drives, I mean, apart from, you know, passion and interest of like sort of reverse engineering, like I guess it's like a challenge, right? You want to uncover what the different, what each app is sort of hiding, like the secret features. But what other sort of aspect of this motivates you to scoop these companies?
Yeah, as briefly mentioned, like I want to get the most out of the apps, but every time when you see the app updates, you almost always see improvements and bug fixes. Like that's it. Like they're not being transparent about what's changed inside the app, like what comes with the app, and I want to know that so much. So usually when the update pushes, I just like reverse engineer the apps and see what's changed, and then turn something on, and then to tweet about it, because like we own our phone, right? It's not the Facebook doesn't own our phone, and I guess like what's happening in our phone, like we deserve to know what's behind the scene, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. How did you get into sort of scooping apps? Or, you know, I mean, clearly, I mean, if you're talking about tech and a lot of like software engineering and like sort of coding and like this, I think at least in the US and probably also in China, is still largely a very male dominant scene. So how did you, you know, get into this? You know, how did you become interested in it? How did you start getting into scooping apps?
I don't really see, like, I didn't really think about the gender aspect behind it. I mean tech is tech, right? So like to me, like, to me when I scoop apps, it was completely my interest.
Maybe tell me a little bit more about your journey. Like, how did you become interested in coding and technology? Like, were you always interested in this as a child, or did you like pick up interest like down the road, or what was the situation?
Yeah, I think like back then, when I was around like 4 to 5 years old, I figured there's this concept called the internet, and where you can connect with people all around the world. I find it very fascinating. So I started looking into it, and I started like using the computer. Sometimes my dad doesn't want me to just freely browse internet, because that's the internet. And
what's he worried about, that you would stumble upon know, things you shouldn't be seeing as a kid? Yeah,
something. Yeah, you get it. Yeah, and yeah, like I do that, and then my dad just he figured that out, and he put password on Internet Explorer. So what I did is I went to a public library, and then I borrowed a CD-ROM with Firefox in it, and I installed it, and that's how I kind of circumvent the Internet Explorer password. And then he put the password into the on Windows itself, and then I installed Linux. And then he put a password into the computer itself. So I removed the battery from the motherboard and then insert that back in, so he kind of reset the password. And at that point, he gave up on controlling my computer. And he just unplugged the internet and let me to mess with my computer that time. Yeah, sometimes I mess something up, I had to reinstall that. So that happens like every week. Yeah. Yeah, so about like reverse engineering, so there was this Chinese typing contest back in when I was in secondary school. It just said casual, all for fun contest. So I found maybe there's something I can kind of make the result funny. So I open up, I right click on the page, and I see a view source, and then I see, oh, so it's made of JavaScript. So I look into it, and then I kind of like see the logic behind the code, and then I alter it, and then so figure out the way they count how fast a person type is by submitting the amount of seconds to the server. So I'm thinking, what if I just submit like 0 seconds? What if I just submit like negative infinity seconds? And it worked. So it turns out, because I submitted 0 seconds to the server, and then the server kind of like did not check about whether this value is sensible. So I technically become like the first in the school. I became the fastest person of typing.
You have 0 seconds, so you took 0 seconds to finish typing.
0 seconds, everything, or like minus one, yeah.
Yeah. So what did the teachers say, or you know, what was their reaction when they realized you had tampered or sort of like changed the value in the system?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, it's just all casual and all for fun. So he kind of gave up on the whole typing contest campaign. He just let go.
Okay. Yeah. What was the first app that you reverse engineered, and how did you think about doing that? Like, how did you actually get into this hobby of tinkering with apps?
It's been my hobby since long before I tinkered the apps. So one time I kind of stumbled into the structure of the Android apps, and then I thought about maybe there could be something interesting going on behind the apps. So I kind of like unpack it, and then kind of see the logic behind it, and then it took me like the first few try until the first group happened. But it was fun. To me, when I look into the app, I'm fascinated about like how enormous the scale is inside the Facebook app, and like it was like huge, and So I'm thinking, like, since it's so huge, then there must be something that I can poke about, because in scale, there must be some bugs I can play around. And then one day I found a way to turn something on, and then that's how I start everything about scooping apps. And then and then I will apply the same logic to other apps, maybe like different ways. There's always some variance of how it works, but like when I reapply it to everything else, and then like that's how I start taking Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, Slack, PayPal, Venmo, and more.
Is there a difference between scooping apps and that are Android and iOS?
Yeah, there's certainly some differences because the way how Android works and the way how iOS works is structurally a little different, and Apple puts a lot of efforts on securing the iOS itself, which explains why it's been like very hard to jailbreak it these days. And so like it's still certainly, it takes different approach to reverse iOS apps. It's not saying it's impossible, but it's harder.
But for you work primarily with Android apps?
Yeah, because I personally use Android apps myself.
So I'm actually quite interested to get your take on, say, you know, there's always a lot of talk about like safety in different sort of operating systems, like iOS safety and like Android, you know, like, and so as an Android user, do you think that the Android system is less secure? I don't know if secure is the right word, but I don't know. What's your general take on it?
Yeah, I think like a great thing about Android is very, the platform is very open. So open that sometimes when they ask you for this permission, you wouldn't think about, you wouldn't expect that would allow the app to scoop everything, something else from your phone. For example, like there was this app, it kind of do something to listen what the app talks to the server. In the middle, it's called Man in the Middle Attack. So one time I see like it sends my cell phone signal tower, the ID of it, which carrier behind my phone, and my neighboring Wi-Fi and all those sort of stuff to the server. And I was shocked because like I only expected to give this permission for GPS, my location, but they send all this stuff to the server, and then they might use this for something else, maybe like to know like where you live, who your neighbor is, and whether like who lives in your household, and all those sort of stuff. So
this is is this an Android issue, or is this like the app that you were using that was specifically collecting data?
I wouldn't just point the finger to specific one thing, but like I guess that's a compromise of the openness of Android. Yeah, it will allow companies to do that. But to me, like, just because they can do it, that doesn't mean they should do it, right?
So how do you sort of deal with, you know, being an Android user, having these apps on your phone? You know, obviously they have they it's so open, like you said, and they can get, you know, permissions to, I guess, much a bigger amount of things compared to iOS. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah.
So how do you sort of balance being an Android user, being concerned about your data, and also sort of like, yeah, and scooping apps to sort of see, like, how do you sort of juggle between these three? Like, how do you sort of rationalize?
To me personally, it really depends on how much you trust the company, really. But I guess that's the compromise behind me being able to scoop apps, right? So there was for example, like there was one of those feature like where Facebook app would require location permission, and then I found a nearby friend map feature, but it wouldn't work unless I give them permission to my location, which also permits them to collect my neighboring Wi-Fi. So I guess that's the compromise. But before I start scoping apps, I just used the website version of the app, not of Facebook.
Is there anything apart from like passion or hobby, like, you know, the fact that it's your hobby that drives you to scoop apps? Like you said, it's not from, like, you know, you're not motivated by money or, you know, possible bug bounties or anything. You do it out of interest. But is there something deeper that motivates you?
I guess to me, what's in store in our phone, we deserve to know what's behind what's going on. I guess like you wouldn't want to buy a device into your house and then it will secretly film you when you're sleeping and then it uploads to the server. You wouldn't want that, right? Like, we wouldn't want that kind of black box in our home. So I guess like these days, our cell phones are more personal, connected to us. It's kind of like a digital entity of ourselves, and I guess it's important to know what's going on behind the apps. To me, like I want to make my scoops as transparent as possible. So I post it on Twitter so everyone can see that. Like everyone, yeah.
So have these companies like that you have scooped, like Facebook or Twitter, Instagram, these are huge, huge tech companies in the US. And how do they respond to their apps sort of being scooped? Like, surely they're not happy that people are going in and looking at, you know, the new features that they haven't released. How do they sort of respond to this kind of behavior?
We never really communicate directly because I couldn't imagine what that would, how that would, what would end up be. But yeah, like when that happened, a lot of reporters will ask Facebook publicists about that, and they will always say no comment on that. But like 3 months later, it actually got released. So we see the pattern of it. But about the employee, I guess I can see the reaction from them. Like sometimes, like when something that they think as important got scooped by me, I can see my follower counts increase, and like a lot of them are from that company. So I found, so this is the kind of like a gesture indicating maybe I am scooping something important. I guess in the course of the whole year of me digging apps, I can see improvement of app security in the apps. Security as in preventing me from scooping the apps.
How do they do that? How do they prevent you from looking at code that's out there?
Yeah, sometimes they make it harder to for me to analyze. Sometimes they make it harder for me to make some features possible. And
like they obscure, like they sort
they obscure it and make the logic harder to be analyzed.
Have you ever reverse engineered any Chinese apps? Like, you know, we've recently talked about a lot of US apps, right? But you know, obviously, like the equivalent of Facebook might be WeChat, and you know that scale is still massive. Have you ever tried reverse engineering any of these Chinese technology apps?
So there was one time I looked into the logic behind Musical.ly, which is which is made by a Chinese internet company. So I managed to open the debug panel behind it, and then I managed to turn on some of the UI design change, but that's about it. Yeah, there's certainly the possibility of looking into behind what's behind maybe like WeChat or Taobao and something like that. That's definitely the area I'm open to explore.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So how do you deal with sexist comments that you sometimes receive on your Twitter? Like, you know, when I'm on your Twitter, I've seen some people make some not very nice comments, either because you're a woman or because you're Asian. How do you sort of respond to that kind of you know, rhetoric.
I guess the first I would kind of look into whether the account is real or not. Sometimes, I mean, again, this is the internet. Everything happens, right? And trolls happens. And sometimes, like, I just shove it away because that's just noise to me. But sometimes sometimes I would just respond to them in a way to point out the flaws in their so-called arguments and then kind of shut them down. Mm. Yeah.
What are some of the challenges you've encountered scooping apps and publishing them on Twitter?
Oh, yeah. I guess sometimes people might kind of underestimate the amount of effort I put on scooping those apps, and they might thought, hey, maybe that's just another screenshot I could just copy, and then why does she put the watermark on it? Or you could just erase it. But to me, I really wish people could see more. I wish people could emphasize more into the citation or the source of the scoops, because I sometimes put 6 hours or 8 hours or 18 hours on scooping those apps, and it happens sometimes. Before I used to kind of privately ask them, could you not do that again, and then usually they would just kind of stopped. But I guess as my exposure continues to grow, the occurrence of this happening will happen more. So I guess at some point I would just kind of stop hide the name, and just kind of
start calling people out, basically.
Sometimes I would just call people out if that's a blatant, purposely plagiarism. But if they didn't know that, usually I would just give them a benefit of the doubt. I would just kind of privately talk to them.
Mm.
So usually that will resolve. Yeah.
You know, obviously, with you scooping apps and everything, have you ever been approached by these tech companies or, you know, even tech media who might be very interested in what you do specifically and might want to hire you for it? And as a follow-up to that question, what do you hope to do in the future? Do you want to work in one of these companies that you have been scooping? That would be actually quite interesting.
Oh yeah, definitely. I've been receiving different referrals from different Facebook employees in the course of the entire year. And
wait. So the Facebook employees ask you hey, do you want to work at Facebook? I can refer you. They want to refer you.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, because I'm sure they get a referral bonus, and they're we need this person. We should bring this talent into our company.
And then sometimes Facebook, sometimes Twitter, sometimes Google, Snapchat. I think Snapchat also happened, and Shopify. Those company, it happens. And I see that as a form of recognition. Not officially, of course, but I see that as a form of recognition. That's, hey, maybe there's something valuable behind my skill set. And sometimes tech publication might want to have a deal with me about being able to access the scoops exclusively. To me, I'm not sure if I can make that possible, because I just want my scoops to be freely accessible to everyone, regardless of how newsworthy it is.
So you always only exclusively post your scoops on Twitter? That's where you will post it first, and that's where everyone can see it?
Yeah, because posting it on Twitter, it makes it very easy for everyone to access it, to maybe engage, maybe to leave comments. Instead, if I am to open a blog site myself, people might have to sign up, and I might have to maintain the bandwidth behind it, and it costs money, and I just do this for free. I guess in the long run, I would love to be one of like join one of those teams in order to maybe like bring the world closer together, like improve the apps, maybe in terms of security or the features at some point.
Do you have a dream company that you want to work for, or it's all up in the air right now?
I'm open. My Twitter or LinkedIn is open.
Yeah, so, you know, Google, Facebook, Twitter, if you're interested in hiring Jane, you should contact her ASAP. probably when she graduates, right?
Yeah.
Yes, but otherwise, I think we have come to the end of this week's episode of Inside China Tech. Thank you very much, Jane, for, you know, being our guest on this podcast.
Thank you for having
me. It was very lovely to have you here today. Yes, and yeah, join us next week for more insights into the China tech scene. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, that's at Zensu. And if you want to follow Jane on Twitter, that's
Wong M Jane. So Wong M Jane.
And also, if you want to read more of SCMP's tech stories, you should check out scmp.com/tech. That's where we publish our daily stories every day. All right, see you next week. See ya. Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.